ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Good morning. Welcome to AM. It's Friday, the 19th of December. I'm Rachel Mealy, coming to you from the lands of the Turrbal and Yuggera people in Brisbane. Thousands have gathered in solidarity on Bondi Beach this morning for a paddle out to honour the lives of the 15 victims. More funerals are being held today for the victims of Sunday's terror attack, while 15 of the injured remain in hospitals across Sydney. It comes after a major police operation in Sydney's southwest last night, where two cars were intercepted. Our reporter Tanya Dendrinos is at Bondi Beach. Tanya, what's the feeling been like on the beach this morning?
It has been an absolutely incredible scene here at Bondi this morning. There are thousands and thousands of people on the beach. Even if they're not getting in the water for the paddle out this morning, people are just lining the foreshore to watch, to be together, to be part of this community. It's been a really emotional scene. People have been crying, embracing. The organisers of this paddle out said that it was a chance to start the healing process for the Bondi community and for the local Jewish community. The paddle out has been designed to honour the lives that have been lost, to pray for those that are still recovering, to thank the first responders, and really to just see this community standing united with hope for what's to come in the future. And I spoke to a few of the people who are down here and about to get in the water a little earlier.
We're turning darkness into light. And, you know, arriving down here early in the morning, darkness of everything, you know, and how we're feeling. And this is just so cathartic. It's so re-energising to be down here. And we don't want to allow what's happened to, I guess, affect what we, you know, do.
It's great to see that everyone starts to come together again and starts to talk about it and the way they're feeling and how they work with their emotions.
That's some of those involved in the paddle out at Bondi Beach this morning. And Tanya, in a separate incident, tactical operations police have thwarted a potential act of violence. Can you tell us more?
That's right. Seven men are being questioned by police following an operation in Liverpool in Sydney's southwest yesterday afternoon. Vision has emerged of the men on the ground and facing a fence surrounded by tactical officers. The information that we have at this stage is still relatively scarce. We are expecting a press conference in the coming hours. The New South Wales Police Force has said that the tactical squad responded to information that a violent act was possibly being planned. They intercepted two cars in Liverpool before taking those men in for questioning. Police have said, though, that at this stage they haven't identified any connection to the Bondi terror attack.
That's Tanya Dendrinos there at Bondi Beach. The opposition, Crossbench and the Greens say they'll work constructively with the government to pass its reforms targeting anti-Semitism in the wake of the Bondi terror attack, but have questions about details behind the plan. The Prime Minister says he's open to recalling Parliament over the summer to pass the laws, but wants to ensure there's broad political support. Samantha Dick reports.
Facing anger from Australia's Jewish community, Prime Minister Anthony Albanese is now conceding other action could have been taken.
More could have been done, and I accept my responsibility for the part in that as Prime Minister of Australia.
The federal government's revealed a raft of measures in response to the attack, which include further strengthening hate speech laws targeting so-called hate preachers, giving the Home Affairs Minister new powers to cancel or reject visas for people who spread hate, improving education about anti-Semitism in Australian schools, and adopting in full the report from Special Envoy to Combat Anti-Semitism, Gillian Siegel.
We'll continue to work through the implementation of the 13 recommendations in consultation with the Jewish community and the Envoy.
To pass its reforms through the Senate, the government will need support from the Greens and the Crossbench or the Coalition. The Greens' Justice and Foreign Affairs spokesperson David Shoebridge says he's open to working with the government.
The Greens have always stood for strong anti-vilification laws, for strong laws that protect people from overt discrimination.
However, Senator Shoebridge questioned whether it was necessary to expand the Home Affairs Minister's powers.
The Home Affairs Minister already has extremely broad discretionary powers to cancel people's visas on the basis of character.
Shadow Attorney General Andrew Wallace agrees the minister already has the power to deport non-citizens. However, Mr. Wallace says the opposition will work constructively with the government.
When they provide the details, we'll have a good look at them.
Independent MP Allegra Spender, whose electorate includes Bondi Beach, says she strongly supports measures targeting hate speech.
Sunday was an act of hate and it was an act of extremism. And so we need to make sure that we are addressing hate and extremism. I'm looking at all ideas. I'm looking at the opposition's ideas as well, because it takes a whole country to fight this.
While Ms. Spender resisted former Treasurer Josh Frydenberg's calls for a royal commission, she urged the government to launch an inquiry into the Bondi terror attack.
Because we will learn things there that are also absolutely critical to addressing violence and addressing extremism.
Green Senator David Shoebridge raised concerns that some recommendations in Gillian Siegel's report could have unintended consequences, such as limiting academic freedom.
No university should be being directed by the federal government about what they can and can't research. But of course, you know, there are limits to academic freedom. There are limits to debate. We can't tolerate the intolerant.
Senator Shoebridge also warned against conflating anti-Semitic views with criticism of the Israeli government's actions.
There is an argument going around at the moment that civil society coming out and opposing a genocide and opposing the appalling violence that we've seen in Gaza somehow promotes violence in Australia. And I reject that argument.
Liberal MP Andrew Wallace says it is possible to target the insidious rise of anti-Semitism and hatred while protecting Australians' freedom of political debate.
You can criticise decisions made by the Israeli government and not be anti-Semitic.
The Prime Minister says he's open to recalling Parliament over the summer to push through the government's reforms.
Samantha Dick. Home Affairs Minister Tony Burke says the new laws will lower the legal threshold on hate speech. I spoke to him earlier. Tony Burke, your government began the week with a vow to crack down on guns, and you're ending the week with a crackdown on anti-Semitism and hate speech. When was the message heard?
Well, let's be clear here. You need to deal with both the motivation and the method. Both are relevant. When you're dealing with the horrors of what happened on Sunday, the motivation matters and the method matters, because it was both of those coming together where we saw the horrors of the disgraceful attack that we saw.
Shouldn't the motivation have been front of mind?
I spoke over you. I apologise, Hugo.
Shouldn't the motivation have been the first thing that you spoke about on Monday morning?
You always deal with both. You always deal with both. And for some of the issues that we announced yesterday, you would expect that there were continued detailed conversations that were happening with the anti-Semitism envoy, as there were. But you have to deal with both. And anyone who is saying that this had nothing to do with the anti-Semitic motivation or the ISIS-inspired is ignoring a critical fact. And anyone who is pretending that somehow it was reasonable for people living in Bonnie Rig, Sydney, in that situation, for that household to have 6 firearms, is also being absurd. Both need to be acted on.
Jewish community leaders say this crackdown is too little, too late. How do you respond to that?
There will never be an end point on acting on anti-Semitism. Never be an end point on acting on anti-Semitism. We'd already taken serious action on hate speech, on hate crimes, on hate symbols. What we'd done with respect to Iran was the first government since the Second World War to expel an ambassador and then to list an agency of government as a terrorist organisation. The different actions that we've taken have all mattered. The fight against anti-Semitism is an ancient fight that will never end, and there will never be a point where any government of the day will have the right to say they have done enough on anti-Semitism.
Your government received the report from the anti-Semitism envoy, Gillian Siegel, in July. Why wasn't that the starting point? Why is it now?
Well, the different issues that I went through didn't wait for now. There's a whole new series of further actions that we have announced yesterday. But even, you know, Gillian Siegel herself, who I've been working very closely with for a long time now, made clear yesterday why she would have liked the formal response dealing with the whole report to be earlier. She also did acknowledge the government has been acting during that time. So a claim that because there wasn't yesterday's response given earlier that somehow that means action wasn't happening denies the list that I've just gone through of the different actions that we've been taking, and with every one of those, actions that had never been taken by a previous government.
Should Australian protesters be allowed to chant "Globalise the Intifada"?
I find that horrific. I find it horrific. There will be a limit as to how much of this is dealt with under federal law, how much is dealt with under state law, and that's what we're now working through in terms of our limits. When I met with the police ministers a couple of days ago, we've got our officials now working through on both gun laws and on various issues of hate to be working through the different powers that exist across the jurisdictions. Some people, and for a long time in Australia, the big arguments that we had to be involved with on these issues were actually people arguing that for freedom of speech, you should be allowed to say more. And, you know, the previous government tried to weaken 18C and to weaken our laws against racial hatred. Those people are being very quiet now, and they should be quiet because it was always the wrong thing to do. What we've been doing since then and before yesterday is strengthening our laws against hate, and what we've announced yesterday are the most significant strengthening of laws against hate speech that Australia's ever seen.
Are you confident that these new laws will classify, globalise the Intifada as hate speech?
My focus, and I made this clear yesterday, because I've just explained to you that we still have to work through what can be done at a Commonwealth level and what can be done at a state level. But be very clear on this. Our focus are the hate breaches in particular, who people have seen comments that are completely dehumanising to other Australians, completely dehumanising. And people have said, how on earth is that allowed? And because they haven't reached the link to a call for physical violence, they've stayed just below the threshold. In the same way, there's a couple of organisations that have been spoken about and spoken about by the Director General of ASIO, where they have effectively opened the door to the dehumanising of other people, opened the door to saying that other people are somehow unworthy to live, and yet have managed to keep themselves just below the threshold of being listed as a terrorist organisation. So on each of these, what we've announced yesterday is that we will lower the threshold. But what I can't do is play the game of this sentence will be in, this sentence will be out, these words will be in, these words will be out. We will be lowering the threshold to the extent that constitutionally we are able to, and it will be the strongest step forward in making hate speech illegal in Australia.
Your government recognised a Palestinian state in September of this year. Did you do enough at that time to say to Australians that this was a political decision and it shouldn't involve any criticism of Australian Jewish people?
Well, that's been through our language the whole way through. Like, to what you're referring to now is something that you'll find consistent comments that no Australian should be blamed for.
Did the message get through?
Well, clearly we need to keep acting on anti-Semitism. Otherwise, we wouldn't have made the announcements that we made yesterday. Clearly, we will always need to keep acting on anti-Semitism because we are dealing with an ancient form of hatred. But what we are doing is we are no longer the nation where we had the government of the day a decade ago claiming that the right that mattered was the right to be a bigot. The right that matters is the right for people to be able to be free to have a celebration at the beach and to do so safely. That's the freedom that matters, not the freedom that somehow under freedom of speech you can go off and belittle and demean and dehumanise your fellow Australians. That has no place in Australia, but has been able to get away with comments that almost every good-minded Australian would feel were absurd and offensive. And yet, because we've been in the situation where the main public discussion for a decade was should people be allowed to say more, we have not taken the opportunities that we've started to take in the last couple of years, and we are drafting now for the strongest laws against hate speech that Australia has seen.
Tony Burke, thanks for joining AM.
Thanks, Rachel.
Members of Australia's Jewish community say the Labor government's proposed reforms are too little, too late. Hate speech on social media has been singled out as one of the driving forces of anti-Semitism, but Jewish people say there hasn't been strong enough political leadership or media reporting to stamp it out. Catherine Gregory reports.
It's school pickup time, but at this public primary school in Sydney's east, people are grieving and security is unusually tight.
I got that. I didn't realise it.
10-year-old Matilda would have been finishing her second last day of the school year with her classmates, but instead it was the day of her funeral.
Matilda was always kind and she was always smiling.
This mother says her children, friends of Matilda, have been sobbing themselves to sleep at night. Her children describe Matilda as someone always wanting to help others.
Our older daughter is 11 and she actually said that she is seeing a lot of hate being spewed out by mainstream Australia. And her message was that, you know, for her, if you knew Matilda, you'd know that she hated nobody.
At Matilda's funeral, her community came together.
It was somber and it was sad and it was unified.
Hannah Friedman, Rabbi Yossi Friedman's wife, laid blame for the massacre and rise in anti-Semitism directly on the Labor government and Anthony Albanese, and dismissed his proposed sweeping reforms.
He must resign. He does not care.
While this man, a survivor of the shooting, also pointed to the mainstream media and what he considers to be its biased reporting.
You guys are responsible and have a responsibility to a minority, a Jewish community around the world.
In Bondi, people from right across Australian society came to pay their respects.
I'm friendly with the Jewish community. I'm Catholic by background, so I wanted to see if I could help them, if there's anything that I could do, but just, you know, reaching out and checking in to see if they're okay and their family's okay.
These women say the federal government's proposed reforms to crack down on hate speech, including greater powers to cancel or reject visas, are desperately needed and could mean positive change. But some other reforms don't go far enough.
It's about time. Too late.
Do you think they're strong enough, these reforms?
No, not at all.
What do you think needs to happen?
I think there needs to be an absolute cut down on all firearms. There needs to be more monitoring, surveillance.
Many Jewish people AM approached either didn't want to talk to the ABC or said they felt Anthony Albanese's reforms are too little, too late. And while they think it might make a difference, they're not convinced it's genuine and believe it won't happen quickly or decisively enough. These young Jewish men say anti-Semitism has been blatant in Australia for too long.
Why did it take for a massacre to occur, to have community people from Bondi, people from Sydney come and, you know, be with us, when for 2 years we were begging the Labor government, we were begging Anthony Albanese, we said we are vulnerable in our communities, we need extra assistance, we need extra protection, and it never came, it never arrived.
What would you have wanted to see before this? What were you wanting specifically, what action?
Just like a hashtag, a trend, something that gets, you know, the community talking about anti-Semitism and how it affects us in our own communities. And that never happened.
A man in Bondi speaking there to reporter Catherine Gregory. And that's AM for today. Thanks for your company. I'm Rachel Mealy.
Hi, I'm Andy Park with the ABC News Daily podcast. Be alert, but not alarmed. If you lived through 9/11, you would have heard that saying on repeat. And by all reports, the terror hotline did work to prevent terror attacks. But what else actually works? The Prime Minister says new laws to tackle anti-Semitism will, including powers to deport so-called hate preachers and a new criminal charge for those advocating racial supremacy. Today, the Lowy Institute's Lydia Khalil on how to stop the next terror attack. Look for the ABC News Daily podcast on the ABC Listen app.